Coming to you from Los Angeles, California, this is Cheat Day Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Cheat Day Podcast. I am Frankie, gender pronouns, he, him, his, and I'm here with the lovely
Kristen, gender pronouns, she, her, hers.
Hi, Kristen.
Hey, Frankie.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm super excited for today's guest.
Yes.
We're going to be talking comedy.
Mm-hmm. Who is our guest?
Today, our guest is Matt Viola.
Yes.
Yes. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about her?
Go for it.
Okay, well, she is currently living in Los Angeles. She is a stand-up comedian and performer. And I know she's also done a little music in her past. And today we're just going to be asking her some questions about her life and stand-up comedy and what it's like. And I actually used to do stand-up comedy back in the day.
Absolutely.
Did it for, what, like 4 years? Mm-hmm. 4 years. I had to stop.
Yeah.
Just because of a number of things that happened, and pain is only funny when you're no longer in pain.
Correct.
So it was just I was a shit show. I really was a shit show towards the end, but I had so much fun when I was doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I love making people laugh.
Yeah.
So much fun. Like, I like taking things that like may be considered painful to some people and finding the humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I would say my sense of humor is definitely what's gotten me through my life, is being able to find the funny in everything.
Right.
At some point.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sometimes shit is just painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't know you back when you, so I never had a chance to see you.
Yeah.
Doing your routines.
My thing.
Yeah.
It was very self-deprecating.
Okay.
Which I don't think is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like society can put me down, but I can't put me down.
Right.
Which is very interesting to me. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the whole idea of like me winning in every joke.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also live within a society where, you know, fat jokes are a thing. So it's like, what's the problem if I'm telling them?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, people control our page, which, by the way, we got our first troll.
First winning.
Winning! Got our first troll. His name was probably like Bob or Steve.
I don't really remember. All I remember is them saying that because we posted something about eating donuts, and then they were like, that's why you're overweight.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't like it even like a good comment.
Like, it wasn't clever.
No,
there was no creativity put into it. It was very, very boring.
Basic
trolling. A basic troll.
A basic troll.
Yes.
Yeah, basic bitch troll.
Yes.
But whatever, we got our first one.
Yeah.
We are making it.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
We're out there.
Yeah.
We out there.
We out there in the streets. Or not. I think we're just
out there in the
garage somewhere. In the vicinity.
Yeah, we're in a garage. We out there in that garage.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is comedy something, and performing something, that you're looking to get back into?
You know, I've thought about it, and I really do love making people laugh, but it involves a lot of work.
Yeah.
Writing jokes is not easy, but I do feel like I have it within me. So actually, preparing for this show today, I jotted down a couple of things. I did a little joke writing and just some things that are in the works, right? Like premises and punchlines. Punchlines that have no premise and premises that have no punchline. But just kind of like first draft type stuff. But yeah, I really like making people laugh.
Can you tell me, what is the anatomy of a joke?
So I'm pretty sure it's premise. Oh, fuck.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
You totally put me on the spot. But there is a formula. There is a formula to joke writing. And it's like setup, punch, mix, setup, punch, mix. Like, like, I know that the formula varies depending. Like, there are one-liners, and then there are more like story type jokes. So it really just kind of depends if you're more of a storyteller, or if you're more like slapstick comedy, or if you're more, you know, like one-liners, you know, set up, punch, done. I'm a little corny. Yeah. I would definitely say I'm a bit of a cornball.
Okay.
But if I had to describe myself as a comedian 10 years ago, self-deprecating would be how I would describe myself.
Got it.
In fact, I think some of my best formulated jokes were about being fat, mm-hmm. which apparently fat's a bad word.
Mm-hmm. Well, people are trying to like reclaim the word.
Right. Like it's a descriptive word. It's we as a society are the ones that put a negative connotation to it.
Correct.
Like if you're fat, there's something wrong with you, as opposed to you're fat. Therefore, you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah, so it'll be great to talk to our guest today.
Yes, I'm super excited to have Mav. First question, have you ever traveled with a marijuana vape?
No, I'm too nervous.
I know, right? I feel like I'd have to put it in my vagina.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You could.
I
could tie a little string to it. Tie a little string to it.
You could. And boop, right up there.
It's smaller
right
than a tampon. Boop. Boop. It's a little longer, though, but unless you could get the short ones.
Well, you could just twist off the...
Put it up in pieces.
Only... Well,
like cargo.
Well, you don't have to put the battery up there.
They're going to... They might find the battery and say, where's the oil? And you'll go, it's boop. Just boop. The oil? Like an OB applicator? Like the oil?
Sir,
just
you don't
like
want to know.
OB applicators terrify me. Deb, you know what we're talking about?
Tampons.
No,
tampons.
This is... Okay. Tampons. Land of the unknown.
Yeah,
for me.
Tampons for the ladies.
Whatever, you dabbled.
Well, actually.
What is it a gold star? Is that when you've only been with the gender
dick.
You're totally
opposite
attracted
gender.
To? Yeah.
Right. No, well, the opposite gender.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You're gold, right? You're a gold star if you've never been with the opposite.
Yeah, if you've
whatever.
Never been with it. Yeah, that's what it is. If you've never been with the opposite gender.
If I've only dabbled with dicks, then I will be a gold star.
Okay,
have you dabbled
it.
With vagine? That's a
here's
really
the thing.
Intimate
really
question.
Personal. We just met like, what,
yeah,
3 minutes
but
ago?
But let's do this.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Here's the thing. I am attracted to male-identified people.
Oh.
Okay.
Therefore, to me, what's down there?
Doesn't
I mean,
really
and
matter?
This is something that came like that. Later in life. Like, when I was like in my 20s, it was like nothing. I needed to have like...
I needed
a dick. Yeah. Correct. In the conventional way.
Yeah. Right.
But not anymore.
Okay, you're
not
open.
Anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you be more happy if your partner identified as male, but let's say had the parts of a biological female mm-hmm. down yonder, but was like down for you to dabble with D on the side? Would that be like best case scenario or really doesn't matter?
No, I'm not really into the whole, like once I commit, I commit.
Yeah, that's sweet.
So
aww. I'm really weak for monogamous people. We're rare these days.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also monogamous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm too Scorpio to not be. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm triple Scorp. Like all my houses, rising sun, all that shit is in Scorpio.
Oh, sure.
I would like malfunction
if
my partner like was like, I don't know, I'm thinking about it. I'd be like Emily Rose, on the ceiling, you know, just.
Yeah, I can't do it. Because I'm too fucking, I can't. I'm
jealous.
Jealous.
I'm too jealous.
Yeah.
I'll own it. I'm way too jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my partner is mine.
Yeah. You belong to me.
You belong to me. I own you.
None
and
of
I will
this progressive bullshit. Like, I'm talking 17th century.
You're mine.
You're my property.
Mm-hmm. And I need to know where you are at all times.
Yeah. At all times.
I need to know where you are. If you don't respond within 2 hours of me texting you, what the fuck are you up to?
We have a problem.
We have a
I've
problem.
Already like created all kinds of scenarios in my head.
Major. I already create them about the past too.
Really?
Oh, forget it. I have major retroactive jealousy. Oh. That's what that's called.
Oh, you mean like with past partners?
Yeah, I'm already imagining some hyped up fake scenario with your ex. Whatever that was.
Oh. Okay.
You know, I'm already jealous of your past. I can't be jealous of your present too. That's too much jealousy.
No,
that's fair.
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to be of the future. Like I'm like, I guess I project.
Yeah.
Also
you have
jealousy.
Projectile jealousy.
I like that. I like that.
Totally.
Totally.
That's why I'm single. That's why I'm single.
That's fair.
Jealousy. Yeah. You have to lie to people up front and say, I'm not jealous and I'm not dramatic.
All. No, you can't
at all.
Them.
At all. I hate drama. That's what you say right up the
absolutely.
Bat.
Absolutely. And then.
And then.
Once they're in there.
Six months in, once they're
all
hooked.
That
drama.
Shit.
drama.
Yeah. You just got to make sure there's a good balance.
Good balance
of
yeah.
things, right? Like yeah. you can yeah. be crazy yep. and get way too turned up and be jealous and be fucking dramatic.
Yeah.
But you better like bring give in really sheets. Good head.
Yeah.
Right? Or like be really good with back massages.
You have to. You have to compensate.
Or you cook me dinner. Yep. Right? Yeah. Like you feed me. I'll totally put up with your bullshit.
It's true.
Yeah. It is true.
It's true. You have to balance it.
Has to be a balance.
And you have yeah. to be aware of it and be like, I own my shit.
Acknowledging it.
I know that I'm like this. I'm going to make up for it by going down on you every night. And then sold. Yeah. Then they're hooked. They can't get. They're gonna
every night
literally,
it's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job. When they think about leaving you, they're just going to be like, but that head
is just too good.
It's too good.
It's too good. It's
head on fleek.
Can't give it up. Yeah.
Head on fleek.
Head on fleek.
Head on fleek. Hashtag head on fleek.
Yeah, hashtag. Yeah.
Should we officially, did we officially we just officially start this?
Are we recording?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
Why not?
Yeah. Like, we're in it.
All of this.
We're totally yeah. in it.
Yeah.
Living.
Who are we talking to?
We're talking to Bad Viola.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We were stalking you on the internet.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and on your website, your okay. bio, I was like, let me go take a look at her bio.
Nothing written.
And the bio says, ahem, an 80-year-old woman gave me her blazer and she's hot. And it's just a picture of you wearing this like random out of place blazer and like this really cute outfit.
Oops.
So thought it was awesome.
Thank you.
It's
that's
so
all you
your
need
style,
to know.
You know, like just short and sweet.
What else do you need to know? Like, why do people need to know where you're from and how long you've lived in LA? And,
right.
Nobody cares. Look at me in a blazer. Look okay. at me in an old lady's blazer.
Well, right. I cancel funny. This question out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No question. So how long have you lived in LA?
Like 12 years.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Throw that sheet out of here.
Yes.
Throw that sheet.
We're done.
No, don't.
Not really. No.
We do have a couple questions.
Yeah, you can ask me all the questions. That's the point, kind of.
Right. So you do stand up comedy.
I do, yeah.
How long have you been doing stand up comedy?
3 years.
Okay.
Not terribly long.
Okay.
Still a newbie in the field.
Infant yeah. status, like yeah. toddler
you
comedian.
You have to be like 10 years in at least for people to take you seriously, I feel like. You know, I mean, I feel like people take me seriously, like they know I'm here and not messing around. But when I say 3 years, people are like, you're a baby, you know, which
you're
fine.
Like, thanks.
I'm like, thanks. That's right. I have all the time in the world.
Something that I'd like to know, because, you know, I'm new to this particular dynamic. How yeah. did you two meet?
I'm pretty sure we met at LAYN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Youth Network.
I was smoking a lot of pot back in that day.
I've always been smoking a lot
okay,
of pot.
Cool. Okay, cool. So I don't remember really.
Me.
I remember bits and pieces. Shit, I don't remember 20 minutes ago.
I'm serious. I barely remember. We just did outreach together.
Okay.
With homeless youth. Sometimes
okay.
our
yes.
organizations would team up
oh.
together
mm-hmm.
and we were on a committee together, I think.
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
When all the outreach members had
yep.
to get together.
We led very effective outreach.
Are you?
We can't even remember.
I know, right? Are you still doing outreach?
No, I'm not.
So you're completely done with that?
Yeah, yeah. I actually, for years, have been stepped away from it.
Did you guys actually do outreach?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
Okay, right? It
yeah.
was like, it was infamous that like outreach squads didn't actually do outreach. And
yeah.
when I got hired on, the person I was working with just took me home.
What?
Like, we would never do outreach. And I finally was like, I'm going to tell on you if you don't fucking stop taking me home.
Stop.
Because they are paying us to do a motherfucking job.
Took you home where?
Like
to
just
your house?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we would start the shift and he would drop me off with my bike. Because this is back when I didn't have a car.
Oh.
And I had my bike.
And he's like, bye.
Bye.
I'm
have a good night.
King.
I'm going to go on a date. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go to tan. I'm going to do my laundry. Like, whatever it was.
No, we weren't that bad.
Okay, yeah, it was bad.
Like, sometimes I would go home while I was doing outreach and, like, let my dog out and have a sandwich.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Well, that's called a lunch break.
Yeah, that's called okay. a lunch break. But, like, I never, like, didn't. I would never just, like, what was I going to do? Go to
right.
Target in the outreach van? Like, that's, I'm
weird.
Too paranoid.
Me too.
Somebody would for sure catch me. There's no way that I could get away with that. No, no way.
We had a white van. We had a rape van.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we would like pull up on youngsters
they
and
did.
We'd be like, hey.
Creepy.
Get in the van.
Well, we never told
oh,
them
okay.
to get in the van.
Okay.
We were like, here's water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's
some candy.
There's a trail of candy and water. Leading into the rape van
in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Here's here's a fresh needle.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was that.
Right? Exactly. You that. Give them what they need.
Kids yeah. don't. The problem with outreach is like kids, teenagers, they've just run away from home and they are not trying to go anywhere that's going to be like, here are some rules.
Right.
You know, you can't get high. You can't do all the things to take your mind off of the bullshit you just went through your entire life until now. You finally have a taste of like freedom. They don't want to come. They're like, fuck no. I don't want to come with you. Yep. They're not ready. So it's a problem for outreach because the people giving the money want to see numbers. They want proof. They want evidence. And it's really hard to show that you're doing anything worthwhile because everything you're doing is planting a seed that hopefully eventually, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now will impact them. It's not going to impact them right the fuck away. They're teenagers. They're like 15. They're like, fuck you. Give me those Doritos. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Give me 6 more bags of those Doritos from your suitcase.
Do you have Funyuns? Do you have any Funyuns back there?
I don't eat bologna.
Right.
I'm not eating that sandwich.
Only Subway sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'm a vegan. Thank you.
I'm a vegan.
Right?
And they all have cell phones and tablets.
I'm on a strictly macro diet. And I don't do gluten.
Pescatarian.
Fuck gluten.
Yeah. Fuck gluten.
It's the white devil.
Okay. So how do you transition from this fabulous life of outreach into...
into comedy?
Yeah. I mean, I can see the comedy in it, but...
yeah, there's a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I just felt like I'm telling these kids to go pursue their dreams. I mean, it's tale as old as time, right? And I'm not pursuing them. I'm not pursuing my own. So I'm just this big hypocrite because all these kids have all these artistic talents and I'm trying to encourage them to go pursue that, but I'm not doing my own shit, you know? So I went back to school. I went to grad school for dramatic writing. That was kind of my first, like, I need to get serious about a career in this industry. And then while I was doing that, somebody suggested that I try stand up, a friend of mine, and I'd always wanted to, but never had the guts. And then I finally did it and was like, oh, this is the best thing in the entire world. It's the only place you can just say whatever the fuck you want, you know? So yeah, so that's kind of how it all happened. And then I realized, like, with homeless youth, you can always be involved in some capacity with, you know, nonprofits, and good on people who make that their career, but it just wasn't for me. It was too, I took it home with me every single night. I could not, you know? And now I just run into them on the street and it's like the best day of my life.
Right?
I love running into old kids.
Yeah.
Especially when they're doing well, or, oh my God, it's the best feeling in the entire world. Mm. I think you played a part in that. I mean, I'm sure you did, you know.
Right. Well, we planted a seed.
Do you do outreach?
No.
But you did.
No. I've never done that. Okay. I wouldn't. I do the same thing that Kristen
does. We're case managers.
Yeah. That's awesome. I feel like that's a better, more useful position. You work directly with the kid and you can... mm-hmm. hook them up, immediate services, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I feel like you felt, which is like, we tell them to go and pursue whatever it is that they want to do.
Yeah.
And yet we're sitting there in the office and, you know, most people that come to LA want to do something else and end up doing some job that they need to do, but have all these dreams and goals and things that they want to pursue and oftentimes don't.
Yeah.
So... therefore, that's why we started this podcast.
Yeah, that's great.
That's
a
way to sort of channel our creative.
You have to have that.
Yeah.
And in your field, it's social work and all of that. It's next to impossible to have the energy at the end of a day to do that. So good on you guys, because I don't think most people do. I think most people are just so drained emotionally that they're like, fuck it, you know? And then they lose sight of their art.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Chase your dreams, people.
Yeah.
Yes. But I was also stalking you and in the interwebs.
Yeah, the love the webs.
I found
the dark
some
web.
Interesting some interesting information.
Oh God.
So you were a model.
Okay. This is where I have to leave. Yes, I was a model.
Please tell us more.
It was what did you see?
I didn't see anything, I just heard.
Oh, where'd you hear that? Girl,
I got sources.
There is a lot.
There's a lot. Like a lot pops up when you search your name.
I think I need to do that from like a library computer. You know, one that's not attached to me. Like, I don't want anybody knowing, like, when if I died tomorrow by accident, somebody goes on my computer and they're like, she just Googled herself for the last 24 hours.
She was a model.
She was the model and she Googled model. Mavpila model. Wouldn't it be like a model to do that?
Okay.
Yeah, I did some modeling. When I first moved here, I had really long blonde hair and like no tattoos. And I was just like still trying to figure myself out. And the first thing I stumbled into was modeling.
Okay.
So I did some runway.
I love that you stumbled into it.
I just stumbled into it. I stumbled into modeling. To be honest, I don't even know how it happened. Really? Like I don't know if somebody came up to me or reached out to me on like MySpace. I have no idea. I can't remember to save my life. I just know that I was modeling, and probably because I just don't want to remember it, I like block it from my mind because I hated it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, so I was with an agency, and then I was like, I can't do this anymore. I hate it. And I cut all my hair off, and I was like, I need to explore this other part of me. And then I didn't model for a while. And then my agency called me like out of the blue one day and said, do you want to go on this audition for a music video? And I did. And it ended up being Katie Lang. And I did like, I did a music video with her as like an androgynous person.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden in modeling and everything, androgyny became like super popular. So then I got a few gigs out of that, which was cool. But yeah, I mean, I don't model as a career anymore, but I did, and it was so weird.
Oh.
Being androgynous and modeling, super cool. You're just being yourself. They're like, here's some cool clothes, and you're like, this is great. Or they tell you to bring your own clothes because they're like, you know your body better than we do.
Right.
So just bring whatever. And then that's the easiest money you'll ever make in your entire life. But before, when it was like feminine shit, like two pieces, and some guy spraying me with water being like, give me your look, sexy look.
Oh,
and me just cracking up. I don't have that.
What is that?
What is a sexy look? Stop spraying me with dew. Like awful.
Oh my God.
The trauma is real.
The trauma is real. But like I have a legit model bod. Like I just don't show it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my partner is constantly, like this morning, classic example. I walked out in like underwear and a t-shirt, and the first thing she does is like, she's like, oh my God. I took my shirt and like tied it, cinched it in like a very feminine way, and was like, okay, now pop your hip. And so I'll do it to humor her. And I'm like, I fucking hate this. I don't want to remember that I have this body. Like oh it's not God. The... That's not what I'm presenting, you know?
Right. Yeah. Same.
Same.
Same Z's. But speaking of your partner, girlfriend.
That and the real model.
Diora.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Diora. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, actual model. Like real.
Yeah. Like guests. And like she was in every like hottest list ever in the world.
I know. When she's like, I'm feeling fat. I'm like, babe, you were like on Maxim's Top 100 for like, I don't know, a decade. Like, shut the fuck
Absolutely.
Up.
She's like a fixture.
Yeah.
So how?
You dumb bitch, don't say that. You know,
like, cool your tits, mama.
Yeah, I'm like, do you know that every woman in the world hates people like you?
Yeah.
That are like, I'm fat.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, shut up.
So how did you meet?
We met on Bumble, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, we did. We met on a dating app.
Okay.
So I didn't remember that I had the dating app. Which I'm not lying about that. That is true. It was on my phone, but I was going through this period of not dating and I forgot that it was on my phone. It was like on the third page of apps. But she started following me on Instagram and I thought, why is this hot bitch following me on Instagram? I don't have that many followers. Like I have like 2,000, you know? Like I noticed when someone
followed me. 2,000.
Yeah, like.
Just like a small 2,000.
Just like a small 2K. You know what I mean? So she followed me. I stalked her back and was like, oh, she's a kid. She's probably just straight, saw my comedy, whatever, moving on. So then I go onto Bumble and like a couple weeks later and she's the first face that pops up. And I was like, that's that hot chick from Instagram. And I swiped on her and it was like, boom, it's a match. And I threw my phone across the room and was like, no, you know, like this can't be real. And then she messaged me and we started chatting. And then I put two and two together. I Googled her and I was like, oh my God, I had this bitch on my wall in college. Like I had her guest ad on my wall. And I was like, I'm definitely going out with this one. This
Talk
is the one.
Foreshadowing.
This is fate. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
And then on our first date, we were filmed for a documentary that she was shooting, like that she was a part of about sexual fluidity.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, do you mind if our date's filmed? I was like, that's really weird. And if you're not my future wife, I feel real bad for my future wife. This is going to be on tape forever.
Right.
But sure. So we went on the date and it was filmed and it was just like, duh, no brainer, you know, one of those. And just great that she's hot, but like she's awesome. So it's that was just kind of icing on the cake, really.
Nice.
A lot of icing.
A lot of icing. Bonus.
I thought you were going to say boner. I was like, no. Yep, boner icing.
Well,
kind of
I
icing
mean,
that gives you a nice boner.
If you had a penis, then you would have
Does
a boner.
Does a tiny
for her.
Clit help?
Okay. It's a tiny penis.
It's a tiny peepee.
Tiny penis.
It's a little penis.
Okay. Sorry. My mind just going places.
It should.
So can we see this documentary? Is that something that's available?
Yeah, it's actually on Huffington Post. It's a short documentary. It's like 10 minutes called Sexual Fluidity.
Oh, awesome.
And she's one of three women in the documentary. She doesn't identify as sexually fluid. She identifies as lesbian, but she feels, and I agree, that people should be raised sexually fluid so that you have the ability, the freedom to explore and figure out where you fall on that spectrum. And so that's why she was a part of it, you know?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I think we've had a conversation like similar to that. Like, it'd be nice if when people are born, there are like no expectations.
Yeah.
Like, so that you are able to build yourself to whatever it is you want to become.
Right.
Rather than, oh, if you have a penis, then everything's blue and cars and sports and everything. And
it's terrible. It really is terrible. It doesn't do us any service. And it's like, then everybody has to come out. And it's like, that's so shitty. People shouldn't even have to do that.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't have to. Like, she didn't realize that she was lesbian until way late in life, till she was like 30 or something. And, you know, for her, she doesn't have any regrets, obviously, because you shouldn't live life like that. But she feels like, what a shame, you know, this is who I know that I am and I've been all along. But I got thrown into this, you know, being a sex symbol and all of these things. Expectations were put on me my whole life. So much so that I didn't even realize who I really was until way later, you know, and that sucks.
Right.
Yeah. Shame. Shame.
Absolutely.
Shame.
Absolutely.
Got real serious there.
It did get really serious.
Got real dark and serious.
It's good.
But it's true.
Let's take it back to.
That's true.
Let's take it back to not so serious.
Yeah. Scale it back.
Well, where did you guys go on your first date?
We went to a restaurant. Just like I can't remember the name of it. Oh my God. I need to remember. It's like a friend of a friend's restaurant. Oh my God. What was it? I don't know. It was a restaurant. It was cute.
There was and food. Then we went, there were drinks.
It was called something. And then we went to the Federal for, I got a drink afterwards. I was like, let's go get a drink. I need a drink. You know, I need whiskey. So we went and got a drink after that. And then I took her home and it was like the sweetest little first date, you know? It was so sweet.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it was really cute.
And you guys are engaged.
We're engaged.
Totally engaged.
We live together. We're engaged. We've done the thing that like I always thought was really lame of people where we've been engaged for like almost a year. You know, I used to be like, I'm never going to be like that. I'm going to get engaged and get married like 3 months later. We haven't planned a fucking thing. Like nothing. We haven't even talked about it. Like when we start to talk about it, we're like, oh, you know, and then we just are like, do you want to go to the movies? Yeah, let's just be in denial. Did you have a wedding?
I did.
Yeah.
Aww. I did. It was such a family affair. Like the entire family put the entire thing on because he's got a huge family.
Yeah.
I have a very small dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
And he has a very large, not so dysfunctional family. And so they put the whole thing on. We had it at Uncle Andy's house. Uncle
Stop
Danny made
it.
All the food.
Uncle?
Yeah. Like a lot of uncles.
I love that.
A lot of just like good people.
See, that's, you got to have that.
They're Sicilian family, you know.
Italians.
Love.
I'm Italian.
Love
know
Italian.
All about it.
Well, that makes sense.
It's wonderful. Yeah. Right? Good people.
Love Italians.
Love them.
Love them.
Just get the fam together. Get a bunch of lasagnas. You're good to go.
Good to go.
That's all you need.
Get some garlic bread.
That's it.
Maybe some vino.
I love garlic bread.
You're into, I love garlic bread too.
Gotta love garlic bread.
Who does it? Yes.
Little marinara. Little parm. Ooh. Nice good parm.
Yeah.
Salt, pepper. Done.
Done.
Lots of garlic.
Don't need anything else.
Cloves shoved into the loaf.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Dying.
Okay, we need to take a break. We need to go get some garlic bread.
I'm like, sure, let's go. I'm like,
let's go.
Let's
get the garlic bread. Do you have garlic bread?
Are you crazy? Get the one that's already made in the foil. You just shove it into the oven.
Right? What about the ones you just bake in the plastic bag? You don't even take them out of the plastic bag. I'm like, how do you cook plastic?
I know, and you're like, is this plastic in my mouth? And you're so concerned you don't give a fuck. You got to eat it. You got to have it now.
You got to vent both ends. You're good to go.
Best podcast I've ever been on.
We just talk about food.
We do enjoy food.
Food and sex.
Food and sex.
Food and sex.
Yeah.
Two of life's vices.
Exactly.
What else do you need?
Two of like life's like most amazing things ever.
Those are the reasons I live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of sex.
Yeah.
You had a gig recently.
Mm-hmm. At Pornhub?
Yes.
Oh my God, you guys. Okay.
Were there dicks everywhere?
There were dildos everywhere.
Oh my God.
So there wasn't. Okay. So Pornhub Nation is the. Okay. So there's Pornhub. Yeah. And then this artist, Katie, I don't know her last name because I don't remember anything, but she's awesome. And if you put in Pornhub Nation Instagram, you can find her. Okay. So she took over this whole space at this nightclub. There were like multiple rooms and she just turned it into Pornhub Nation, which is like the country that the like as if the world has turned into just Pornhub. Right? Oh, Pornhub okay. has taken over the world.
Wow.
So rooms, there's like a garden of like dildo flowers and like, it was crazy. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And it was a lesbian night.
Oh, wow.
So that was even wilder, but there wasn't, I was really worried there was going to be pornography everywhere, like straight porn. When I say that, I mean just straight dick, you know, like jizzing dick.
Yeah.
Which is why I can't ever go to porn sites because there's always in the corner.
There's
like,
always a dick trying to get you.
The pop-ups. I'm like, I don't want, no.
With jizz.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
No.
Yeah. I don't want that.
No.
So I was really concerned about that walking in, but it actually ended up being really cool. It was just like dildos everywhere, which also kind of make me feel uncomfortable, but it's fine. You know what I mean? There was one on the stage right next to me while I was performing, which made me feel very unsafe.
Was it like suction cup to like the stage?
No, or? It was like, it was like suction cup
to the wall.
No, there were some on the walls. Suction cup to like a little miniature Greek statue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then someone touched it and it fell off and revealed that he actually just had a tiny little penis.
Oh no.
And I felt really bad for him. You know, it just looked like
it's not the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean.
That is true.
It's so true.
It ain't the truth.
Oh. It's true.
My dick sticks about
I
hear you, Frankie.
I mean, no, listen, I'm not
please.
Trying to,
oh, please.
If people could
spirit
only
fingers.
See.
I'm spirit fingering
spirit
right now.
Spirit finger.
I'm spirit dicking right now. Spirit dick sticking. This is my dick sticks. Don't fuck with my dick sticks.
See, because when I saw the Pornhub gig, this is what I picture when I hear Pornhub. Yeah. It's like naked people everywhere and everything's like damp.
Yeah, everything's like moist.
Everything's damp.
Yeah, I was like, so I'm glad to hear that it wasn't a totally traumatizing.
I was like, who am I, Howie Mandel? I'm so worried about germs here. Like, I was like, because that's what I feel when I go in a strip club, which I don't do because I'm so, and not that I don't respect all these people, I'm just so outdated when it comes to all this stuff. I'm like, turn into a Southern Republican Catholic woman, you know, and I'm like, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be cum all over the walls, you know? Like, STDs everywhere. Like, I just can't do it. I can't be in those environs.
Okay. Environment.
Well, you had a good experience.
I had a good experience. Is, okay. I did. I had a good experience.
Okay.
It was fine.
And the audience was good?
It was just a bunch of people who looked just like me. Okay. It was just a bunch. Awesome. I was like, I'm everywhere. All stages of my coming out were everywhere. It was just like me with medium hair and me with like girl pants, but a boy's shirt, you know, like all sorts of confusion.
Yeah.
Bleach blonde hair is very in right now. In the lesbian community, so there was a lot of that.
Okay.
There was just a lot of dykes, which makes me nervous. I get really nervous performing in front of gay people.
Do you?
Yeah, because most audiences are straight or they look straight, you know, and I don't really think about that. And I feel like when I do gay audiences, it's always like a gay show, you know, it's never just like, oh, there happens to be more gay people here than straight people. It's like a gay event, so they expect a level of like, gayness in your jokes.
You gotta bring the
you gotta really bring it.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of, and a lot of the comics are gay, and so they're, you find that you're saying similar things or you know, you have similar experiences, so you're gonna bring those up, like walking into a women's bathroom and people thinking you're a guy. A lot of dykes talk about that on stage, you know. So you hear somebody go up and you're like, oh shit, they just did all my jokes. You stole all my jokes, you know. Oh. It's like, not true. I'd
be like, what she said, I'm
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I'm out. That is the first thing I said when I got there. I was like, cool, so you saw me perform once, twice, three times. Here I am again. Was so silly.
So do you do a lot of like doing Pride and like all of those?
Yeah, like I will, but it just, it makes me, I love being around gay people. It's not that, I just feel like we're more critical. There's just like, you know, we've got our little arms crossed. We've like been through some shit, you know, as a people. So we're just like, bring it. What are you going to make me laugh? You think you can fucking make me laugh? You know, we've got kind of an attitude. Like, whereas like straight on, and so they're just like drunk, you know? They're just like, yeah,
I
want to
laugh.
You can rip apart a straight man. Like, a straight man, usually in a drunk straight man at a comedy club. Is like, I don't know why, but that is my sweet spot. Like, they are ready for me to roast them. Okay. And they eat it up. They love it.
Right.
And I roast the shit out of them. I embarrass the shit out of them. Yeah, the bros.
The bros.
The bros. The broskies. They love it. But a lesbian, straight-faced. Straight, doesn't want to crack. If I start roasting a lesbian, they're like,
Really, bitch?
Really, bitch?
You want to take this outside?
Yeah, exactly. Because they can bring it right back.
Oh my God. Also go for gingers.
I do. I do go after gingers. What's I always that? Go after gingers. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like gingers are just easy targets. They're gingers. Come on. I love a good ginger. Okay. Because it's like, what have they been persecuted for being ginger? That's so stupid. You know? It's so dumb.
Totally. Like, what is really your struggle other than the fact that you have orange hair?
But it is. It's like a real struggle. Like, right. They've really struggled. Like, people go after gingers as kids. Yeah. So, I mean, I have to go after them. Really, I'm just bringing attention to their struggle is absolutely. What I'm doing. It's actually just like a mission. Yeah. Yeah.
Social justice.
Social justice for the gingers. For the gingers.
For the gingers. Okay. That's so funny that you pointed out I go after gingers. Because I feel like they were the same thing as us to the beach. That's what I talk about. Gingers and boyish lesbians. We just wear cargo shorts and sports bras. And bucket hats, you know? Oh yeah. That's what gingers wear to the beach.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a cool ginger at the beach? To be honest.
Well, number one, I can't tell you the last time I was at the beach. And number two.
I guess that part. Yeah. That part.
I don't remember the last time I saw a ginger at the beach.
At the beach, period.
No.
Period.
Yeah. Why would they be?
Okay. It's
a dangerous place.
Dangerous place.
Yes. You better UV be wearing rays. A lot of fucking sunscreen.
That's
okay?
What I'm talking about.
Where's your umbrella?
Yeah. Where's your tent?
Right.
Gingers don't bring towels. They bring blankets.
Yes.
They just weren't born with the right instincts for the beach environment.
It's true.
They have other strengths.
Yes.
It's true.
I don't know what they are.
I was going to say, what are they?
Yeah. Okay.
I've got really good freckles.
I'd like to apologize to all the gingers listening
so
to this
sorry.
Podcast
we are
right
so
now.
Sorry.
We're really sorry.
There's a ginger clown on the wall just staring at me like,
oh my
bitch.
God. It's true.
Oh yeah, the black light clown. Yeah,
that's a black light
clown.
It's a clown?
Black light clown.
God damn this!
It's
place.
One of the first pieces of art Andy got when he moved to LA because we're moving, and I was like, "So that clown's
got to go."
How attached to the clown are you? He's like, "That is the first fucking piece of art I bought when I moved to LA. The clown's not going anywhere." I'm like, "Okay, great.
Keep it in the garage."
Okay, great.
Yeah,
I hope we do have a garage where we're moving because that's where the clown's going.
A shed. Shed in the
get
back.
A pod and just sit in the front yard.
I know, right? I also asked about the bear rug.
Is it fake?
So, okay,
yeah,
here's the deal
claws.
With the bear.
Never mind, that's fake.
It's got gold claws. It is fake. We don't have a real bear rug. This is a fake bear. It's a leopard
it's
bear.
It's a faux bear.
It's a faux bear. It's got diamond encrusted teeth.
It's kind of badass.
It's kind of badass.
I want to come to that yard sale.
We've had two so far. I fucking killed it.
I
know
bet.
How to fucking sell some shit.
I bet you
shit.
Did. She I want
to
come
I'm like
and just
relating
watch.
To people. I'm like reaching their inner psyche. Like
I
you
love
really
it.
Need this table.
Yeah, no, she's good at that.
Oh my God. It was so much fun.
God. I'm going to come and just watch. I'm just going to watch you do your thing.
I sold so much fucking
shit. I want
shit.
You to sell the clown painting.
Andy won't let me.
God. It would sell for so much.
But we're selling the Marlin.
The Marlin is... The Marlin's killing me.
Yeah, the Marlin.
But also are the two tiny fish next to the Marlin. Like, were they just swimming beside the Marlin when
they
he
were.
Caught the Marlin? And he thought, I'll
whole
just keep the family together.
With me.
Yeah, families belong together.
And we're keeping you together.
Oh.
You're all going to be dead.
Way to bring it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a social justice right there. Yeah.
Always thinking of a way to make it political.
That's hilarious.
So silly. God. I love it. A lot of silliness here.
Yes, yes.
This is my jam.
It yes, I love to laugh.
Yeah, you do. That's the one thing I do remember about you. Like, we don't remember each other, but we do remember each other.
Right.
Like, we don't remember actual events. Right. I just remember always looking over at you in meetings and just dying for no reason. Wow. Just dying laughing.
I have a funny disposition.
Right so do I. People yeah. look over at me like at stoplights. Strangers will just look over at me and I'm just natural glance over and they'll just start cracking up in my face. I'm like, what is it? I don't know.
It's just a funny thing.
Just a funny thing.
Funny. It's a funny thing about us.
It's a funny thing.
Yeah. Sure. I'll go with that.
You okay. got it? You feel
yeah,
it?
Totally.
Yeah. He's just staring at us blankly.
Yes,
blankly.
I'm
well, actually,
like, what is going on here?
Well, I had another question about
yeah.
the comedy.
Do it.
Ask
because I did comedy for a couple of years. And I'm curious as to what your experience has been, not only being a woman
yeah.
in comedy, but also being a gay woman in comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing. And I would say that it's dependent on the venue. It's really case by case for me with my experience, because I can't lump it into like, this is how I don't dress feminine. So I feel like women who dress feminine have a different experience than I do as an androgynous woman. And I don't know that that's better or worse. I just do think it's very different. I think women who present feminine have a much harder time in comedy. They're not as respected. They're not taken as seriously. They are misinterpreted as a bitch for having an opinion. I don't get a lot of that backlash as much. But I do, what I do get is that, like, I've gotten from managers that I've met with or anything, like, they just want to call you like, oh, you're a gay comic. You're a gay comic. You're a gay comic. It's like, I'm not a gay comic. I'm a comic who is also gay. You know, that's part of who I am. And I'm going to talk about that because it's part of my experience. But I'm not a gay comic, and I'm not just for gay audiences. And that's part of my struggle, is really like, and especially at first, I was hesitant to talk about being gay, or hesitant to talk about being genderqueer, because I felt like, oh, people are just going to put me in that box. But the truth is, they're going to do that anyway. They don't fucking care what comes out of your mouth. I mean, Ellen never even really talked about that ever in her stand-up, and people still are just like, the lesbian comic, you know?
Right.
And she's like known as the lesbian comic, and you know, that's, I'm not ashamed of the word being associated with me, but I'd like my craft to just be respected as it is and not being dependent on my identities at all. Does that make sense? Like, I have things,
sense.
I have Absolutely. Plenty of things to say about all kinds of shit that has nothing to do with my gender or my sexuality.
Correct.
But so that I find hard, but to be honest, like, I don't feel disrespected very often. Like, I feel like I've had a very positive experience in comedy, and most of my closest friends in comedy are straight guys. I don't know why that is, but I feel like our audiences are beyond what we're willing to like accept or admit about, like, the comedians aren't reflecting our audiences. Does that make sense? Like, we still have in stand-up, I feel like it's still very white boy led, like straight, cis, white boy led. But that's not necessarily what audiences want, right, or are responding to. That's just still what the norm is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
People totally go with me. Like, fully. They don't need to be gay to go with me.
Correct.
But managers and people still have this mindset of like, oh, you're niche. But I don't actually find that at all. I find that when I perform on straight lineups in front of straight audiences, white, black, whatever, they're just having as much of fun as a gay audience. So it's just fighting those old.
Yeah, because the themes are really universal.
Yeah, they are.
So how do you make sure that you are booked in a variety of venues rather than just what, like, management or whatever, whoever's doing that?
I mean, I just stalk the shit out of the comedians that I love and respect. So, like, I'll go on to a comedian's page who I think is unique and diverse and whatever, and I just look at all the flyers she posts and all the shows she's on, and then I hit up those hosts, and I'm just like, hey, I saw that you had this great lineup, blah, 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 you know, just to, I mean, really, I'll do any fucking show. I'm a comedian. So, like, put me on your show. Love your show. We'll do your show.
Yes, love your show.
Love your show, right? To quote Kristen, like, love your show. But I'll do literally any show, it doesn't matter. But just to keep it diverse, I mean, I'm most of the time I'm bringing the diversity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm their diverse person.
Right.
So I just wish there was more of it. I mean, I feel like there is more of it now than there was, but there just needs to be more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to just, like, there's this thought that, like, your material has to be universal and relatable. And that is true to a degree. But don't you also love hearing people who are nothing like you? Like, that's my favorite thing. I don't want to hear about a bunch of people just like me. I want to hear about people who are nothing like me.
Right.
That laugh is going to be so much more guttural for me than somebody who's just telling me what I think all day long, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
So more diversity.
Yeah. Yes.
More women.
Yes.
You know, definitely more women. Women are fucking hysterical.
They yes. are fucking hysterical.
Men are funny as shit too, but women are also hysterical.
Right.
I tend to gravitate towards agape. Women.
Yeah. I'm like not closing my mouth right now. I'm like, you gravitate towards women?
Towards women. Comics. All of the ones that I tend to watch and find the funniest to be women. What are some of the people that you
My all-time favorite is Paula Poundstone. Do you guys know Paula Poundstone?
Yes.
Oh my God. She's the only comedian that I've, or person, celebrity that I've like, I like waited in a line to meet her, you know?
Oh, wow.
Like as an adult. Like I like stood in line with her CD and like took a picture with her and like forced my brother to go see. He was like, who? And I was like, you're coming. I love her because she does so much crowd work, and that's one of my favorite things to do is just riff with the crowd and see where that takes the comedy. And I think it's, she just does it so boldly and confidently, and it's hysterical. And I'm just, I love her. I'm totally obsessed with her. And she's been, she went through so much, God, back in the day, you know, as one of the first like lesbian out comics, and she got so much fucking bullshit for all of that. Yeah. And so I just have a lot of respect for her, and think she's fucking hysterical. Nowadays, I love Brian Regan. Do you know who Brian Regan is? Like, just a white boy, clean white boy, doesn't talk about anything like political, real, nothing, but is funny as fuck. Mm-hmm. I love him. Cracks me up to the fucking core. Mitch Hedberg was one of my all-time. Richard Pryor. I mean, how can you get better than Richard Pryor?
Right.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Anything modern that you've been watching that you love?
I love Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, yeah. All the way.
Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones, though, Twitter, Instagram, yeah. Facebook. Give me her all day, every day, mm-hmm. doing everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if I only followed one person on Instagram, it would be her.
Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else? Anybody else?
Yeah, actually, I wrote stuff down. Yeah. Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
I do like Amy Schumer.
Do you? Yeah.
I think she's fucking hilarious. Key and Peele.
God, I love Key and Peele.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Hilarious. So talented.
Brilliant. So talented.
But I like grew up with like In Living Color.
Yeah, me too.
Like I wanted to be.
How
like,
old are you?
36. I had to think
about
it.
Yeah, I'm 35.
It.
Me too.
Okay. Like, how old am I? I wanted to be a fly girl and I wanted to be a comedian.
Oh, you could have been both.
That would have been.
You still can.
Yeah. I still can.
You really still can.
Yeah. I really still could be.
Yeah.
Like I still have. I'm still in my. I'm in my
prime. You're one of the few people who I actually have full confidence in. And whatever you, anything that came out of your mouth, I'd be like, "Yep, you can do it." Like you're one of the few. Most people would be like,
"A little iffy."
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Yeah. But like Gilda Radner too. Oh, like I remember being a little girl and like Rosanna Dana, like watching Gilda Radner. But even like Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray,
brilliant.
Like, just you know, like goofballs.
Goofballs.
You know?
Yeah, I love a good goofball. I love it all. I mean, I love it all. You just have to do it really well. Whatever it is, your thing is, just do it. Do it well. Right. Jim Carrey. Love him.
Love him.
Love his whole show.
Yeah.
You know, if your thing is political rants, then fucking give it to me.
Right.
You know, I'm not one of the, like some people just are like, I can't watch it unless it's clean or, you know, vice versa. It's like, whatever. You just have to respect what somebody's thing is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not anybody can like, I'm not a clean. I'm technically not clean because I talk about sexuality and gender and shit like that. But I'm not going to not.
Right.
You know,
it's a part of who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and
a
if
story.
That's, if that makes me unclean, you want to put a bell around my neck and I can walk through the town square ringing it like a fucking leper, then fine.
D for dirty.
Yeah.
Around your neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's dirty.
Yes.
Yeah. I was never a clean comic. It was a lot of cussing.
I want to see your stand up.
Oh, girl.
Do you have tapes of it?
You know what? I have tapes. I don't even know if it's like possible to get what it's on.
Is it on VHS?
What's it, an 8-track?
It's on like a
tiny VHS.
Yes.
The tiny VHS the that tiny you have to VHS, put into yes. a giant VHS.
Yes.
And then put that into a
VCR.
VCR. And then change that from VCR to CD-ROM.
It's a shit show. Exactly. To a
floppy disk.
Floppy disk.
CD-ROM. And then Macs nowadays don't even have CD-ROMs. Mine doesn't. Didn't come with it.
Simple, right? I could totally get that material.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on the webs.
We're going to put it on
webs.
Instagram. Instagram.
Instagram.
Tonight. We'll do it tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? I think I do have a CD.
Stop.
Oh, my God.
I have a CD. A bootleg? I'm going to bootleg that shit, sell it on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right? No, it's oh my God.
In a jewel case.
Well, I was telling Frankie that like a lot of my material was very self-deprecating.
Oh yeah.
Like very self-deprecating, which I thought was funny, but like, I don't know, people, it's like as a man, I feel like you can call yourself fat.
Yeah. You can't.
People are like, oh my God, that's hilarious. Yes. You're so fucking fat, you know? Like, but if a woman does it, it's like, oh,
sad.
You poor sweet soul.
Are you depressed?
I'm not depressed. I'm a very happy fat person and I want to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, self-deprecating humor is, I think, most hard for women to pull off.
I agree.
Yeah. Because women aren't expected to be like that. And if they are like that, it's like, oh, you're depressed. You have housewife syndrome. We need to put you into a psych ward now.
Right.
You know? Whereas men, it's like, oh, he's just letting off steam.
Right.
Yeah.
He's just having
he's had a hard day at work. He's just got to let off steam.
Where's my dinner?
Where's my dinner and my beer? And my lazy boy. I love that you naturally reclined because that's what a man like that does.
If I had pants on, I put my hand in it. Put my hand right in my pants. Right in my pants.
Yeah, that's. I think that's hard, especially for women who want to talk about their weight. I don't think that people respond to that well. And that's lame. Like, you should be able to talk about anything in your life that you're experiencing. Because you're making me check myself, too, because I feel like I even have probably responded to people talking about their weight. Like, oh, another person talking about their weight. But, like, shame.
Right. Like, we live in such a fat phobic society.
Yeah.
So, like, how do I not talk about that? Like,
right.
Yeah. I walk through every day of my life as a fat woman. That is an experience in itself.
Right.
Why would I not talk about it?
And I think if you're coming from a place, maybe back then you weren't as able to, I don't know, but if you were self-deprecating, that leads me to believe that you were coming at it maybe from more of like a, you hadn't processed it and accepted it
right.
and just loved it about yourself.
Right.
Because there is a way to do things, right? Talk about your experience, but you're like, I've accepted it and I love this about myself and I'm owning it, which I think people receive better than somebody who's like, I'm not sure how I feel about this and I'm just going to go be sad about it. Like when
and
people
I'm
talk
so
about
single
being single.
And-
yes. It, like people talking about being single annoys the shit out of me unless they're doing it from a place of like, I'm fucking single
and ready to mingle.
Because that is an interesting point of view. Yes. Yeah. Whereas being depressed about it, being like, I have two cats and I'm single. It's just like, how many bitches are going to talk about being single with two cats?
Right,
like we get it. We get it. You know,
yeah.
It's just not unique enough, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I think Amy Schumer talked about this because she does a lot of like the self-deprecating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned that a lot of the backlash was coming from women.
Yeah. I believe it with her for sure.
Yeah. So what are you?
Yeah. I think that I've been, I mean, I'll say that like, I feel like with Amy Schumer, it took me a minute to be into her comedy because I have this thing where I don't know what it is about me, but I have to check myself with female comics who are talking about their promiscuity or like I'm even calling it that is kind of the wrong word in language mm-hmm. because we would never call it that with a man, you
correct.
Know, ever. So like shame on me for even just using that word. I just don't know what else to call it. Like mm-hmm. they're like sleeping around or whatever, or their dating life or I've very much come from like the Virginia, like you don't talk about that kind of stuff, especially women don't talk about that kind of stuff. And like, even though I talk about that kind of stuff in my stand up, when other women do it, I'm like, oh, you know, what?
Oh,
why
my.
Are you doing that? Am I, you know, you're a slut, you know, like I just immediately am like mortified, you know, and that's terrible. Women should be able to talk about whatever the fuck they want to talk about.
Correct.
Yes.
And once I got over that, I think she's fucking hysterical. I mean, she's hysterical. There's
right.
no way around that.
Right.
But yeah, I do think it's hard for women are most critical of themselves. You know, we're our own worst enemy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. We need to stop hating so much on each other. That's like a big part of the problem, right?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, well, it's hard to break though because you've been conditioned.
Yeah.
For mm-hmm. so long. Both like men have been conditioned to do other things and women really have been conditioned to like think a certain way and act a certain way. And like,
yeah,
it's a lot of can't, like you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And then what the fuck can I do?
And when you're fighting for spots, you know, whatever it is, as a writer in a writer's room or a director or, you know, on a lineup for stand up, like when you're fighting for like the 1 out of 10 spots that's going to be given to a female, you know, you're breeding competition between women. And there's a little bit of that, right? With anything in this,
absolutely.
In any industry, because women are the minority and they're going to be. So like if I'm on a lineup with 10 guys and I've just beat out, you know, not really, but like that's the perception, right? Is that I've just beat out a bunch of other people to get on that lineup. I'm the girl on the ticket, you know? So it's just really unhealthy. Whereas men don't have to worry about that so much.
No.
There's going to be a bunch of guys on that lineup no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a much bigger chance. So you're not competing with each other as much mm-hmm. as the women are.
Yeah, I feel like women are kind of pegged against each other.
Yeah.
Like we're always constantly competing with one another.
With one another.
Yeah.
you know,
and everybody else.
And everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. You're competing with the men and you're competing with the women, and you want to just support your friend. It's horrible when you feel that way about somebody that you even love and care about. Like my best friend and I talk about this all the time. We're like, I get so happy for you, but then I get jealous and then I get competitive and I have to circle back and be like, that's my best fucking friend. Like I support you and want you to come up. But there's that little voice in your head that's like, there's only a few spots. And if you're not one of them, then that's your competition. Like, it's shitty, you know? Whereas bros can just be like, yeah, we all got in.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I know. I look, because I follow a lot of comedians on Facebook, and it's crazy to me that it's 2018 and you look at the lineups and it's still like a 10 to 1 ratio.
Yeah.
Like it 10 really dudes is. To one girl. And it's not because men are funnier.
No.
It's just, it has nothing to do with it. It's just, we're just in such still like a male dominated. Well, it's like
gatekeeping shit.
You know? Yeah. It is. It's gatekeeping.
Totally. So it's like 10 people, 8 are white guys, 1 black or Latino guy, and then 1 woman.
Uh-huh. Right. And then that trickles into, well, people will say, well, more men are like going after it, you know? And it's like, okay, well then that's shit that has to change on like a micro everyday level of how you just interact with people in the world, because women need to be raised with more confidence. You know, girls need to be raised with more confidence, and then they'll be more willing to put themselves out there, because a woman has to go above and beyond to just get herself to send the email that's like, hey, I want to be on your show. You know what I mean? Like that. It's so micro. I could talk about this all day long.
Absolutely. It's like so deep rooted. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's just spirals out of control.
Yeah.
You can just go down the rabbit hole of this and then you just want to die.
Yeah.
And then you're dead.
Then you're dead. Yeah. Then you're on an ExxonMobil buying all of the Hostess cupcakes and you're dead.
Exactly.
Leaving the gas filling your car without you there to monitor.
But ooh, Hostess. Hostess.
Ooh, Hostess. Ooh,
yes.
Hostess. And now we have to take our second break to go to Exxon and get Hostess.
To get Hostess cake.
And garlic bread.
We'll be right back.
So funny. Yeah.
Loves it.
Yeah. Being a woman in comedy. Interesting.
You've inspired me to want to start. Well, I've been thinking about it for a while as far as like getting back into just
you
like the
should,
joke
of all
writing.
People.
Because I think I'm funny.
You're hysterical.
I think you're funny.
You are without a doubt one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, you should. Why not? Why? What, you know?
No, absolutely. Why not?
I mean, it's a grind, you know? It's a grind.
Exactly.
But you can't go into it so focused on that. You know, a lot of my friends have stopped because they're just so bogged down by the grind of it.
Right.
But you just can't, I mean, you can't let it be that, right?
Absolutely. And I feel like this podcast has kind of gotten me back into the, okay, I do other things. And, but you know, besides just going to work, you know, and even that, like not letting work drain me completely.
Oh God, that's so hard.
Try to keep things at bay. Like I don't ask too many questions when I'm at work. Like I'm less curious at work now about what's going on with my clients.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
You're having a shitty day. Okay. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. And moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. Not why.
No,
and,
no, no, no.
Oh, God. And yeah.
So right now, not being curious, just like trying to, you know, just get it done.
Good.
Leave, come home and do something else with my life.
That's so smart.
You know, and because I really liked doing comedy when I was doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Why did you stop?
Because pain is not funny when you're still in pain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then like people just feel like they're watching a shit show on a train.
It's true.
Like, and towards the end, it got really bad.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I need to take a step away. I need to recoup, revamp.
Work through my shit.
Figure out some shit.
Figure it out.
And I did.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of, well, I'm not kind of, I'm back in like a much better place.
Right.
And I would say just ever since we started doing the podcast, like trying to figure out where I can insert the funny.
You don't even need to figure that out. You just do it naturally. That's just who you are.
Exactly.
You're just like that.
So it's like if I were to apply myself and actually write some fucking material. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I get the block though. Like I don't think I can. Which is like the weirdest, like you can't write a fucking
joke. Oh God, that's the worst.
Or not only can you not write a joke, but you can't write a joke where you lose at the end. Like it's like, you know what I mean?
I
want to win in my jokes regardless as to what I'm talking about.
Don't write jokes then, just write your story, write a story. That's it. Just write a story and then the jokes will be in the story.
That's what I used to do with open mics. I would just go and talk.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, I would just talk. I would riff.
it's like, call it. Right? It's like improv. You're not like, if you focus too much on trying to be funny, you're going to be the most annoying, unfunny person on that stage.
Pretty much.
But if you're just being honest, then all of a sudden you're going to stumble on something really funny. So you write your story out and then you're like, ha, that was funny. Boop. That's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke. So much easier than being like, I have to write this joke. I can't write a joke like that. If I sit down and I'm like, I'm going to write a joke about candles.
It's
what, like,
is the premise?
What? What the fuck? No, it's not going to happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Although that would be jokes about candles. Jokes about candles.
Oh,
but
my
you're
God.
So funny.
She Thank is. You. And she's a great storyteller as
yeah.
well.
Well, you should do some storytelling shows too then.
I do have... You don't know I went. Did you know I went crazy? You know I went crazy?
No, I didn't know you went crazy.
I went crazy, thought I was Mother Earth.
Wait, what?
Whole story around that. I don't even think we have time to tell the whole story.
We have a mental health episode that you can listen
what
to.
What number is it? Because I will.
It's number 6. Did I talk about the Mother Earth? I don't think
I
went into too
did.
Much depth, though, because I was like saving it for the book.
Will I trigger well, you yeah. if I say right now that you are Mother Earth?
Oh, like no, that's you're... not triggering.
I send you back into a tailspin of
like,
mental collapse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was controlling the weather.
Did you really?
I really did. Yeah. I had a break from reality.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that you can laugh about it.
It's fucking hilarious.
You gotta go back into stand up.
Like
she's writing a book and we're writing a movie.
Fuck yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like about just like the,
Hell yes.
the Mother Earth piece. Just
yeah.
I mean, I was manic for a month.
Are you bipolar? Can I
ask am bipolar.
That?
Yeah. yeah. Totally bipolar.
Okay. That's fine. My yeah. dad's my dad's insane. He's in a psych ward every 2 years.
Okay.
Boom. Done. Like
done.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
He's crazy. So I have to talk about that shit too. And it's just good. It's good. You got to laugh about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't even
like it used to bring me a lot of shame, but now
no.
I'm like, I love that. It's like a story that I
yeah.
have that is actually something I went through.
You should do you listen to Maria Bamford at all?
I know that name, but no.
Oh girl. She's cracked.
Oh, she had that show on Netflix.
Yeah. Lady Dynamite.
Lady Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, she cracked. She was in the psych ward.
Yep.
She cracked. She talks about it on stage and it's fucking genius.
We watched Lady Dynamite. We have watched a number of episodes.
No, you got to watch her.
The stand-ups.
Okay. It's genius.
Lady Bamford.
Lady Bamford. Maria
yeah.
Bamford.
Maria Bamford.
Lady Bamford.
Lady Bamford. Lady Bamford.
Anyway, yeah, that's a good one for you to watch though because she's like fucking doesn't. No apologies.
No fucks
yeah.
given.
This is my. This is who I fucking am.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were Mother Nature.
I was.
Mother
I was.
Universe.
I also, like,
Mother
just
Earth.
Two stories that pop out. This is a shorter story. When I applied at my current job.
Yeah.
At the time, I was working at Starbucks. And for, like, 2 years, I spoke in a fake New York accent.
Oh, my God. You've officially become my hero. Oh, so you were Ryan Gosling?
I was committed. I was committed. Yes, I was committed. I mean, like, literally everything that came out of my mouth was like a New York accent type of thing.
Stop it.
Like, people
was
would come into Starbucks. It was
Is
pretty
it
fucking good. Like,
Starbucks.
I had a Starbucks.
Starbucks.
I had a
Starbucks.
Couple of friends that were from New York, and they're like, you're doing it fucking wrong. If you're going to fucking do it, commit.
No way.
Yes. So,
Rosie O'Donnell.
God,
I know. Like Long Island type of stuff.
God.
But yeah, so.
You couldn't stop?
I couldn't
stop.
Did
you do it at home too or only at work?
Home, work, and then when I interviewed at my current job, one and two interview, I spoke in a fake New York accent. And I got the job, and then I was like, fuck, now I have the job. I'm still talking in a fake New York accent.
What?
So I worked like the first 3 weeks still talking in a fake New York accent and like every client was like, where are you from? And I'm like, none of your fucking business. You want your bag or what? And
God damn it.
It wasn't until like 2 years later because we did like awards around Christmas.
Yeah.
So it was like best in show type stuff. And my boss was like, he premised it with, I can't believe this person works here. Because not only in her first, but also her second interview, she spoke
Stop.
In a fake New York accent.
So they all know.
They know now.
They know now yeah. that you were Mother Earth.
Well, they don't know I was Mother Earth, but they do know I was a fake
New
Yorker.
How did you come out of it?
I just stopped doing it.
But you just
but we just never talked about it.
No
I
one's ever
stopped.
Talked about it.
No,
we are you in therapy?
Secrets.
We am I in therapy?
Did, yeah.
Currently?
Yeah.
Well,
were you
that's
in
another
there?
Story.
Kinda
were
sorta.
You in therapy then?
No.
God, you just skyrocketed the most fascinating person I've ever known. You like you just took the number one spot.
I'm just a very odd bird. Like,
no, that's
well, odd bird.
I only want to be around odd birds.
I love it.
It makes
I,
me feel okay because I am so odd.
Yes.
I'm so odd.
Like I feel special. Like, oh, she's special.
You are.
I'm special.
You are.
You know
You're
what
special.
I mean? She talks fake New York accent.
Okay.
Yes.
But I need to know when did you come out of this whole phase of like, I'm Mother Earth and I'm going to talk, I'm New York's
So it was Mother the Earth. Second mental hospital.
Okay.
Not the first one. The first one. I was still Mother Earth.
Yeah.
But the second one, I was on a 72-hour hold. They called the 5150 on me. Yeah,
50, girl, yeah, I know girl, a 5150. What'd you talk?
All the 50s, girl. All the 50s. Yes. And like I woke up like the next morning and I was like, fuck, I'm Kristen. I'm Kristen. I'm not even Mother Earth. I'm Kristen.
Oh, what do you think triggered the whole thing?
I think there was a lot. I had broken up with my ex at the time. Yeah. Well, we went to Africa.
Oh.
And broke up in Africa.
That's a great place to break up.
It is. You know, I really do highly recommend if you're going to break up with your girlfriend, go to Africa.
It brings the trauma out.
It really does. You Something know? About Tanzania, like that backdrop, that setting. It's like, we should break up.
Yeah. Something and about a did. Lion attacking a zebra.
We should just totally break up. Exactly. Right? Right? Just. And we came back from that, and then I just
went kooks. That
was she was my first love, so it was like,
aww, yeah,
you know,
you like, go kooks.
Yeah, we you were together for like over 4 years, and
I'm just really pleased with how it came out of you, you know.
Oh, you mean like the breakdown?
I'm so pleased.
So am I.
I'm pleased. That the universe gave you a great nug for like your art.
It did.
It's a great artistic nug.
It absolutely yeah. did. Like right? as far as like. The entire story, because there's like stories within the story, like walking into someone's house.
Kristen, I need to read the memoir. Well,
we can't give up.
We can't reveal it all. Okay, fine.
But I want to hear all of it.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you all of it off the record.
Off the pod.
Because girl,
oh my god,
shit got real.
I love it. I was like that in college. I was cuckoo, I mean, totally bonkers cuckoo.
Yeah.
I don't even want to acknowledge it anymore because I'm like, okay. Girl was crazy, like legit cuckoo. I'm living for this, Mother Earth.
So are we? Yeah.
Wow.
But getting back to our guest.
Okay, sorry.
No, we're all connected.
We're kiki.
Absolutely,
right now.
It's like this.
It's a love triangle.
What do you have coming up?
What do I have coming up? Okay, I've got a show on the 21st at the Soho House, which will be really fun. Ooh. That's a really fun lineup and going to be a total blast. I've got a show tonight. At Wake and Bake,
okay,
which probably doesn't matter because this isn't live, so it doesn't Correct. Really matter. So when you guys listen to this podcast, I will have gotten a major contact high at a show called Wake and Bake, and I may not ever make it to another show ever again. My career might be ended tonight. It may be over soon. Those are like two of my upcoming shows. The Soho House one will be really fun. That one will be a total blast. Just writing and. Making content, making funny shit, and trying to, you know, got my eggs in every basket I possibly can. Raising a child, which is crazy. I have a stepchild, which is nuts. I did not think I would wake up and have a kid, you know? Boom, you have a child. You're a parent, which is the craziest part of my life.
Wow.
Like, I went to, like, an orientation for kindergartners today.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You know, at a park with, like, a bunch of parents.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, me. Like, in this.
Yeah.
You know, in a backwards hat and basketball shorts. Like, I was like, up? Sup? Sup, PTA Prez? When are the meetings? Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m.? I'm there.
They're like, oh my God, Justin Bieber.
And they love it. All the moms are side-eyeing me.
Be like, confused, she's really good confused. In bed. Yeah. Exactly.
That's like, true. I can tell.
She's making me question everything about me right now.
It's true. You can tell. You can tell the moms that are like totally satisfied with their mom life. And they're just deep in it and they don't even notice. And then the moms that are truly like side eyeing me the whole time, like, shit.
Maybe.
Maybe. And the husband is like a doof over in the corner. She's looking at him and looking at me like, I really fucked this one up.
I know, right?
It's real.
She's like planning play dates already.
Yeah, and she's already planning the play dates. And my partner's like, good, turn them all. Yeah.
It's everybody's like, gonna be a lesbian it. By the time I'm done with this
everybody
PTA.
That's why I walk into every stand-up show I'm like, just wait for it, you're all done.
I've seen that bit.
It's true
You really do have that effect on people,
and fine, I'm happy to do
I
that.
I love it. I think it's great.
That's great.
I think it's great
because everybody should feel that way. Exactly. That's so silly. Exactly. You know, I'm not gonna, if I were to think a man is attractive, it would scare the shit out of me, but I would just own it and be like, okay, you're pretty. Like, it doesn't mean I need to see your penis or I ever will.
Correct.
Like, just because you admit that you find somebody attractive doesn't mean that you're going to fuck them.
Correct.
You know? Right. So just everybody own your shit. Just
everybody find attractive who you want to find attractive.
Right.
Exactly.
Regardless.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Yeah, doesn't.
Leave your husbands and be with women.
Yeah.
I'm not encouraging it, but I'm saying you should try it.
How do you know you don't like it if you haven't tried it?
Exactly. So true.
So true. Most gay people have had to try the other at some point because Absolutely. They grow up thinking they had to.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Not fair.
Not fair.
Every straight person should be forced to try being with a the same gender.
Agree. Yeah.
Forced.
Agree.
Well, I think that's one thing that millennials are getting right.
Yeah.
It's like they are, there's a lot of like exploration yeah. that's happening and people are very open about it, which is not yeah. something that.
Oh God, you know. I remember that at the shelter. Yeah. Don't you remember, like kids probably still do. They would be like, this is my boyfriend and this is my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And my mind was like blown, mm-hmm. you know, but Polar, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I just did a show up in Portland and it's polyamory is huge up there right now,
oh.
which I had I my brain would explode. All of our jealousy would be off the charts.
Yeah.
The three of us would explode.
Yeah,
but totally. They were all. I'm like, I could not stop asking questions about it. Like lesbians and polyamorous relationships. What? Yeah. Lesbians are the most jealous people on the planet. No. How is this?
Like,
working?
How is this working?
Yeah. Like, you're gonna go do a murder suey after this? Like, there's no way. This is working for anyone, you know. They're all drunk. But like, good
were
on them.
Were they older though?
No, they were like young.
Oh,
like 20s?
Like 20s.
Okay.
30s yeah. even? Okay. No, the older ones were not feeling it.
No, but I feel like the hippies, like if you were a hippie That's in the true. 70s, they might go with that.
That's yeah. true.
It's somehow in the 80s, they fucked it up for all of us.
80s fucked it up for everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
got all freaked out by the 70s.
Yep.
And then they either went one or two ways. They were like, I'm going to be punk and androgynous and David Bowie,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to be a motherfucking conservative.
Yep.
And I'm going to check my rebellious child into a psych ward.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. That was like the 80s.
Yeah.
Thank in you. In a 80s. Nutshell. Yeah. Thank you, 80s.
No,
and then the
are.
90s were like, what?
Exactly. God, I love the 90s, though.
God, the 90s. Because the 90s was like a rejection of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, we don't know who we are, so we're just rejecting everything. And yep. putting sheets. We're just going to wear sheets. We're going to cut up sheets and make them into shirts.
Combat boots. Yep.
Clothing was awful.
Mm-hmm. And now it's back.
And now it's back.
And now it's back.
And now it's back. Bringing it back.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back. Yeah. Crazy.
Love it.
But you're going to get in stand-up. What about you?
What about
Do you do stand-up or anything?
I don't. No. That's not something.
How'd you fall into this podcasting world?
I love this whole technical yeah. thing. I've that's been thinking... Nice. Yeah. Well, I mean, I love it. I don't do it as well. I don't do it very well just yet. But,
yeah.
I, you know, we're doing it.
I see squiggly lines moving on your screen. That means yeah. you're doing something.
Yeah, right.
And I moved to LA to act.
Yeah, cool.
That didn't happen. Not yet.
Still could.
Yeah, it started happening. And then I had to get a job because, you know, I had yeah. no job and no money. And right. I needed money. And then I was taking classes for film. I've always been, like, enamored by, like, entertainment and film and yeah. acting and I took a writing class and now I love that so
yeah.
I've been writing and
you're a lover you just
so I'm gonna do everything and I feel Good. Like this is the thing that can allow us to do a little bit of kind of everything
yeah
and it can turn into other things as well
yeah
so
that's the thing about stand-up right it's like most people aren't going to make a living doing that
right
but the hope is that it leads to something that does afford you
Yeah,
you know, the ability to do stand up whenever you want or, you yeah. know, a podcast. Somebody could hear you and think that you're an incredible host and want you to host mm-hmm. a show or whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's very similar. It's a very similar
Absolutely.
Pursuit.
Absolutely.
Whereas like writing sometimes like, well, while it's great. And I do that all the time, too. Sometimes I'm mm-hmm. like, who the fuck is ever going to see? Nobody's reading anything anymore. Where are the attention spans? Nobody's going to read a 30 page script.
Right.
Let alone yeah. 120 page script. Like, forget it.
Exactly.
So it's good to have some other avenue yeah. of like putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Getting what your voice heard.
What are you hoping that your stand up leads to?
I mean, all money.
Coins.
Honestly, I hope it leads to a show. I hope it leads yeah. to a show about me. Like that's honest to God, like old school 90s. Like
yes.
I want to have a sitcom. I want to have a comedy
awesome.
About me and my fucking life and being me and being who I am. And
yeah.
just I want there to be a lead character that looks like me, not a fucking, you know, guest star or just the gay aunt or whatever, you yeah. know, like I want a show about this shit.
And
you know,
and you're the star,
and I'm the star.
I would watch that.
Yeah, wouldn't you watch that?
I absolutely. Watch that.
fucking watch that.
I would binge watch.
I would binge it.
Yes.
Right?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, that's what I want. I want more of that in television and film. I want more leads. I don't want just like, you know, like they're rebooting the L Word. Like, cool, but why? We need like other shows. More fucking shows.
And right. How many of them are lesbians?
Right. And how old are they now?
I don't know.
They're doing a reboot of
So I'm sure they'll bring on more lesbian, you know, new lesbians or whatever. But like, come on, we need more shows. We don't need a reboot of just the one show we've ever had with lesbians as the leads. Yeah. Like,
one show.
You know.
Well, you had Queer as Folk, those two lesbians.
Yeah, right. They were in it. I loved Queer as Folk.
They were fucked up.
They were fucked up.
They were all fucked
up.
We
have the Fosters. What is
it? We have the Fosters with the two lesbians.
That's like it.
She had that like haircut in like the middle of, I don't know what that meant. They kept like going shorter and shorter with her hair.
Yeah, because they were like, just like, doing? What are they doing?
The other woman stayed like the same.
Exact same. Maybe in real life she was getting gayer and gayer and gayer. Like,
maybe.
Don't you kind of love that meta story? Like, I love a story. I want a story about a straight woman playing a lesbian who realizes she's a lesbian because she's like making out with a woman every day on set.
I saw them on an interview.
And they seemed real gay.
Oh my God.
I saw them at a red carpet and they were like.
Over each other.
All over each other, yeah.
I kind of love it.
I saw them at the Casa Awards, like a gala show for like the Casa put on.
Okay.
And they were on the red carpet before us and they were like, I'm talking, I thought they were going to fuck. I was like, these two are in love.
Yeah. I want to say they left their husbands and now they're together.
That's what happened. We're just going to start that rumor now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then self-fulfilling prophecy, it's going to come true.
Absolutely.
That's it. Yes.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
And then I can hire all the people.
Yeah.
Like my dream is to have a show where I can hire youth from like TLP programs. That's like my all-time dream is like just being able to be like, sweet, I'm going to hire whoever I want. And everybody's going to be teamed up with a youth and teach them how to do this skill so that they can also make a lot of money in television.
That's amazing.
Love it.
Like, can someone just hear this podcast and give me that? Bye.
Please.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it now, even like the way that things are set up in like TV and film, even the crew is a very certain type of person.
Yep.
You know, it's usually a white dude with like black cargo shorts.
Totally is.
And a black hat.
And a t-shirt that's got either a punk band or a horror a horror film.
Yep. Yep.
That nobody's heard of.
And they wear like the Oakleys.
Yep. They love a good Oakley.
White New Balances.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the type. Yep. There's total no dad diversity. Dad shoe. Yeah.
There is no diversity.
No.
Because it's a lot of this industry, right, is like who you know and networking and blah, blah, blah. And then, but what that does, which is great on one hand, but what that does is it keeps the circle like, really tight, and it doesn't let anybody new in because everybody's all skeptical of new people.
Correct.
Yep. Which they shouldn't be. You should just teach the new people. If everyone had to, you know, mentor more youth, then sweet. And I'm sure there are some organizations that work to do that very thing, but there's clearly not enough, you know?
Right.
No, I think Ryan Murphy is like starting to diversify his team.
Yeah.
He has to have a certain number of this people or that, but like he just brings on.
I think that's great.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it's really great because a lot of like one thing that's been driving me crazy in the industry is hearing white people, white actors especially, thinking and saying out loud that their role they didn't get a role because it was given to a diversity talent. Mm. Like they'll see like commercials with a black, you know, black girl in it or a mixed girl, and they'll be like, I auditioned for that, but I didn't get it because they wanted somebody ethnic. And like, there's this like thought right now going on in the white community, I feel like, and it's people that don't even realize how fucking racist that sounds, how terrible that sounds, that really think that their jobs are going to people of
color.
Of color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, if you look at the numbers, the people of color are still like way, way low on the totem pole. Like just because you're seeing more doesn't mean that you're losing out. Like,
right.
Correct.
Also, who the fuck did you think was going to give up their jobs? Don't you want people of color to come up? You can't like hang on to all the jobs and be like, but we really support you and want you to come up, but you can't have any of my jobs.
Nope.
Right.
No.
What the fuck? Like more jobs will just appear. You have to like spread them out. I don't know. I could talk about that all day long. It makes me fucking crazy.
Totally with you.
But it's true. Like that's like the vibe going on. I hear that so much. And I will literally just have to tell people straight up like that sounds. I know that doesn't represent who you are. I know when you go to marches and shit, you really mean it. So don't say that shit just because you didn't get the job or, you know, because you're seeing more diversity on television. That doesn't mean that like you're not going to work.
Correct.
You know, stop being so fucking scared.
Correct.
be better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they got it because they were good.
Right.
Yeah.
There's better. Also that.
There's better also that.
You know? Ugh. People of color are more talented in everything anyway, and I'm just going to put that out there. Sorry, it's true.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Okay. Struggle makes for good art. Sorry.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, this was amazing.
This was amazing. We've covered
really,
you guys, we've covered so many topics so that you many. Might need to put a table of contents at the beginning of this.
And a couple disclaimers.
Yeah, just a couple disclaimers. Listen, we are pro ginger.
Right.
Okay?
We're pro ginger. Yeah. And if you get triggered by three people talking to each other about a multitude of topics, please be warned that this is not the podcast for you.
Correct.
Gender, mental health. Yeah. Racism. Yeah. Yeah. Gingerism.
Gingerism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it real around here at Cheat Tape.
Absolutely.
Headquarters.
Absolutely.
This was the best podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, so much fun.
Thank you.
Any podcast where you have the freedom to talk about everything is the best.
Good.
Amazing. You guys are doing a good thing here.
Thank you very much for coming to see us and sitting here with us.
Of course.
If you have anything, any other projects that come down the line, make sure to let us know.
I will.
Because we'll promote the shit out of it.
Hell yeah.
Heal you.
And our doors always open if you want to come.
Oh my God,
back.
I'm going to. I'm going to
bring Diora.
I should have.
Oh, we would love to meet her.
You should have told me to bring her. I would have brought her.
Next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a next
You
time.
Really, you should have the kid on. I'm not even joking.
Okay.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Do you love the kid?
I absolutely love the kid.
The kid is everything.
Everything.
The kid's off-the-shoulder shirts and everything. The kid. I'm just saying.
The little barrettes. I'm like, stop it.
Done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do
Glitter.
It.
Unicorns,
living.
Mermaids, need
you're,
I say
you're,
more?
You're talking a language. You're
that's our language. Totally
that
up my
is,
alley.
Yeah.
That is my aesthetic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm bringing the whole family.
So. Okay, perfect.
Okay. Yep. Perfect. Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, of course.
Love your show. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Make sure to rate us and leave a comment. We hope you guys come back next week. But in the meantime, you can go to our website at CheatDayPodcast.com and you can find us on Twitter and the Insta at CheatDayPodcast.